How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dragon King Dark Podcast, episode number 331. Thank you all very much for joining me here on our show. We are in the midst of a series that's been going on for quite some time now called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History, and this is actually the 64th entry into our list, so we're now rapidly approaching the three-fourths of the way done mark. And Dragon King Dark, the podcast, has evolved over the years. We've gone through several changes. We've talked about, originally it was a spinoff talking about philosophy and science and touching on the paranormal and how the paranormal is presented to the world, and stories of that and ways of looking at that and those stories that I think are interesting and different. So some of our early shows are about that. We went through a period of time where we talked about the changes in society, and boy, did we hit the nail on the head with a lot of those, knowing where we ended up versus where we were going at the time. So those are really critically acclaimed episodes, several of those back in there. And so we've kind of evolved now into this series that puts it in line with what we do at my website, which is whenitwascool.com. It is a website that deals with pop culture and retro pop culture. And by doing 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History, we're taking a look, and it's sort of true crime without being true crime. A lot of these things that have happened here, not necessarily criminal acts, but they are certainly things that have changed the course of pop culture history. Many of these, unfortunately, have been deaths that have occurred too young or for reasons that, were sinister or heinous or something like that. And one of the critiques I've heard of this series so far is that, it's just so overwhelmingly negative. It's so, and it is, it's the darkest moments in pop culture history. There's no way of shying. There's no chance of shying away from that, because it is true. It is dark. It is unfortunately not happy stories. But what I do hope you have gleaned from the series is maybe learning some things about popular culture you haven't before, and maybe in hearing about these, not all of these have been deaths. Some of them have been scandals, and some of them have been just events that have changed pop culture history. Some of them are actually, in the overall scheme of things, comparatively speaking to deaths, kind of benign when you think about things like, recently we talked about how Warner Brothers has handled the DC Comics intellectual properties, the DC movies, like things like Justice League, Flash, Aquaman, Superman, Batman, so on and so forth, that, has negatively impacted popular culture. So that, in comparison to a megastar like we're going to talk about today, Prince, his death, it pales by comparison. But the common denominator, the overarching theme, is that all of these have had some sort of negative impact on popular culture. Now, I promise you, when we finish this series, we're going to change direction again. We're going to go a different way. I'm already working on some ideas of where that is. So stick around. And again, I'm not trying to step on anybody's mental health with the negativity of these shows, for sure. As you know, we talk about a lot about mental health at our website, because my wife deals with mental health problems and has for most of her life. And so we're advocates to destigmatizing that and to giving people a safe harbor to come and learn about things like that. And in the case of Prince, while certainly I don't think I'm not aware of any mental health sort of situation there, there were certainly, when we talk about things like addiction, and Prince's death was a drug overdose, and it is a drug that at the time this happened was just coming into the public consciousness. And now, as many of you know, I have I have a background of almost 30 years now, 29 years as a first responder. It is something we're seeing a lot of, and it is greatly impacting certainly not just popular culture, but society in general, the drug fentanyl. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that. If you're not familiar with that, I do want to talk a little bit about that as well, because there's a lot of hype about fentanyl out there, and then there's the reality of what we actually see out on the street. And we're not going to hype this thing up and tell you all the supposedly scary stuff about it that doesn't seem to be, meshing with what's actually happening out there on the street. But what is actually happening out there on the street, actually, in my opinion, is being underreported, is the amount of fentanyl that is out there now. And it does seem to be rapidly approaching, our number one most seen illicit drug on the street now, and surpassing methamphetamine and heroin, which heroin made a pretty big comeback a couple years ago and got to be pretty prolific. And of course, fentanyl is being mixed with these different things as well. So there became, in a very odd way, something we had not ever dealt with really much in my almost three decades of being in a first responder. We saw a crossover where we were now not only dealing with the original drug, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, things like that, but we were seeing that mixed with the next big thing, which is fentanyl. And now you have fentanyl mixed with stuff and fentanyl on its own. And this figures obviously very prominently into today's story on the death of Prince. And I loved Prince. I'm not going to make any bones about it. Somewhat biased in this story here because I love the music of Prince. Obviously, When It Was Cool.com, we talk a lot about music. We have a lot of podcasts about different musicians. We have numerous episodes of what we call Music Monday, where we talk about different things, not only in classic rock and pop and classic country as well, and just music theory in general. I mean, we got a lot of music-related stuff over there. We even host a show called the Thrash Metal Show podcast. So we love music, and we make no mistake about it. And I particularly, having being a musician myself, not currently practicing, but in my past, I was a drummer, and heavily into like music theory and writing music and reading music, things like that. I am drawn to the really good professionals. I can't play guitar beyond just a few just basic chords and stuff like that. I'm certainly no guitarist, but I know a good guitarist when I see one. I know I can read music very well, and I can understand music theory very well, and I know great technically superior musicians when I see them and hear them. And Prince was so great. His guitarship is so underrated. People talk about Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page, and you can go on and on. Name your favorite guitarist, obviously Eddie Van Halen, and many of these are absolutely as great as they're made out to be. Some I think are overrated, but some like Eddie Van Halen is absolutely not. I mean, they're incredible, just absolutely incredible, and almost superhuman in their abilities to play. And I believe, firmly believe, Prince falls right into that category. He is every bit on the same level as a lot of those names I just mentioned, and better than some of them I just mentioned. So Prince was amazing. Of course, we know he's most predominantly a singer-songwriter. And again, I mean, look at all those labels he wore. He was an incredible songwriter. He wrote not only songs for himself, but songs that became hits for other people, big hits. And so we got an unknown caller buzzing us in there. Apologize for that. And so, see, even unknown callers, spam risk, it says that even they want to chime in on Prince because they're like, yes, he was that great. Songwriting, just amazing, amazing songwriter, lyricist, vocalist. They're just, Prince is one of those super hyped musicians that was a big star, had a lot of big hits, that I will absolutely say was not overrated in any respect. And again, I will say as a guitarist, he is greatly underrated. And he played more than guitar. He played just about any instrument you can think of. In fact, there were some albums he played everything, played it, wrote it, sung it. I mean, he is just was just an elite level musician. And then on top of that, you can have the best technical anything in the world, and you can marvel at that. You can marvel and I love to talk about that stuff, especially the intricacies of various drummers and things like that. But when you look at the intricacies of that, you could still have all that and not be a superstar because you lack charisma, you lack stage presence, you lack showmanship. And by golly, Prince had that just brimming over the top. You look at the Super Bowl halftime performance he gave, still, in my opinion, the greatest one that was ever done, in the pouring rain. And Prince very famously said when they called him, said, well, it looks like it's going to rain through halftime. It's going to be, you know, a downpour. You know, what do you want to do? And Prince is like, can you make it rain more? And goes out and just has this just incredible performance. So he was the total package. He was the complete total entertainer. And I know that label has been applied to people like, you know, Justin Timberlake and Michael Jackson, and others have had that, and deservingly so, not to take that away, but Prince absolutely is right in there with all of it. So he was born Prince Rogers Nelson. Yes, believe it or not, Prince was in fact his real name, and he was born June 7th, 1958. And what brings us here today is to talk about actually April 21st, 2016. I can still remember getting the news alert on my phone, the same exact phone, I think, that just went off and annoyed all of us. Gets this news alert. Authorities, first responders, you're en route to Prince's home, unknown person, unresponsive. That sounded very grim. You just hoped, you know, everything was going to be okay, and then as it turns out, not so much so. Prince was widely regarded as one of the greatest musicians of his generation, and rightfully so. He was known for his flamboyant, androgynous persona and wide vocal range, which included a far-reaching falsetto and high-pitched screams. Prince produced his albums himself, pioneering the Minneapolis sound. His music incorporated a wide variety of styles, including funk, R&B, rock, new wave, soul, synth pop, pop, jazz, and hip-hop. He often played most or all the instruments on his recordings. He was great. I mean, there's just no a real melding of all these different influences, just wonderful. He was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he signed a record deal with Warner Brothers Records at the age of 19, releasing the albums For You in 1978 and Prince in 1979. And he went on to achieve critical success with the innovative albums Dirty Mind in 1980, Controversy in 1981, and 1999 and 1982, and of course, as we've talked about many times on our various shows over When It Was Cool, my pop culture experience, where I start developing my own sense of music and what I enjoyed about music, was right around this time. I was 11 years old in 1982. So, you know, my friends at school, we're starting to listen to the Top 40 Countdown. We're no longer just listening to whatever our parents are playing on the radio. We're developing our own musical taste, what we like, and what we were influenced by. I was influenced by growing up in a very religious household. I was influenced on gospel music and whatever country music they were playing on the radio at the time, because that's what the small town I lived in, our radio station, that's the format they had, was country music. And so, like many of my friends, you know, we want to listen to something different than our parents. We don't like just what they like. We want to have our own thing, their own stuff that speaks to us. And so rock music spoke to me. And so a lot of that stuff in the early 1980s was fundamental to me deciding what I liked in popular culture. And 1999 was just so catchy. It was so upbeat. It was so, you know, made you think about the lyrics and stuff. And it was funky, and it was a very unique sound. And Prince was only going to get more and more gigantic from there. His sixth album, Purple Rain, released in 1984, was recorded with his backup band, The Revolution, and was the soundtrack to his film acting debut of the same name. Yes, the movie Purple Rain. Purple Rain continued critical success for Prince and was a major commercial success, spending 6 consecutive months atop Billboard's Top 200. Prince won the Academy Award for Best Original Song Score. After disbanding The Revolution, Prince released Sign of the Times in 1987, which was widely hailed by critics as his magnum opus. In the midst of a contractual dispute with Warner Brothers in 1993, he changed his stage name to the unpronounceable Symbol and was often referred to as the artist formerly known as Prince, or simply The Artist. Yes, he was creative even in his boycott of his record company and music deals and all this. He ultimately, in 1998, signed with Arista Records and began referring to himself as Prince again by the year 2000. So he spent the majority of the 1990s as the unpronounceable Symbol, the Artist, formerly known as Prince. He achieved 6 U.S. top 10 albums over the following decade. In April of 2016, at age 57, Prince died of an accidental fentanyl overdose at his Paisley Park home and recording studio in Minnesota. Prince had a prolific output, releasing 39 albums during his life, with a vast array of unreleased projects left in a vault at his home after his death, including completed albums and over 50 music videos. He released songs under multiple pseudonyms during his life, as well as writing songs that were made popular by other musicians, such as Nothing Compares to You, remember the big hit for Sinead O'Connor, Manic Monday, which was recorded by the Bangles. Estimates of the complete number of songs written by Prince range anywhere from 500 to well over 1,000. Released after his death, his demo albums Piano and a Microphone, 1983, and Originals were both received critical acclaim. Prince sold over 120 million albums worldwide, ranking him among the best-selling music artist of all time. His awards include the Grammy President's Merit Award, the American Music Awards for Achievement and of Merit, the Billboard Icon Award, Academy Award, Golden Globe Award. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame in 2004 and into UK's Music Hall of Fame in 2006. The Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame in 2016, and was inducted twice into the Black Music and Entertainment Walk of Fame in 2022. And quite frankly, if you have a music-related Hall of Fame, if there's a guitarist Walk of Hall of Fame, he should be there too. If there is a producer's Hall of Fame, a songwriter's Hall of Fame, an entertainer's Hall of Fame, he should be in every one of them, hands down. No questions asked. Of course, to document his entire career would take a, you know, far beyond the scope of what we're doing here. Sadly, we're tasked with talking about his death. This is one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history, and I firmly stand behind this one being one of the darkest ever. Before we take our mid-show break here, I go to abcnews.go.com. This is a 2018 article. It says, police release findings into Prince's death, giving glimpse into his final days. Authorities announced Thursday that no criminal charges will be filed. And this, again, comes out a couple years after his death. The conclusion and some of the findings of the investigation into his death. Newly released videos and images are offering a peek in the last days of music legend Prince's life. On Thursday, authorities in Minnesota released 2 years' worth of findings from their investigation into the star's death as they announced that no criminal charges would be filed. Prince, age 57, died of an accidental fentanyl overdose in his Paisley Park estate on April 21, 2016. In surveillance footage hours before his 2016 death, Prince, dressed in black and looking gaunt, can be seen walking into a doctor's office with a friend and his bodyguard, Kirk Johnson. Before that visit, text messages from Johnson's phone revealed that he had written to Michael T. Schulenberg, Prince's doctor, saying, "Prince is asking for fluids. Can you call me?" His former fiancée and music collaborator, Sheila E., told ABC News in 2016, the day after his death, that he had suffered many injuries from performing. Surveillance footage showed the bodyguard Johnson at Walgreens picking up a prescription hours before Prince's death. Prince's doctor had prescribed a medication used to treat opioid withdrawal. The next morning, phone messages showed the doctor texting Johnson, quote, "I have records and test results. I can drive over if it would help better for privacy." The morning of Prince's death, deputies rushed to Prince's Paisley Park estate. His doctor was also seen arriving to find rescue units already on scene. Prince's body was discovered in an elevator at his Paisley Park compound, the Carver County Sheriff's Office told ABC News in a statement. Police said they found pills scattered all over his home, some in blankets and others mixed together in the same bottle. Carver County attorney Mark Metz told reporters Thursday that Prince thought he was taking Vicodin to manage pain, but had unknowingly taken counterfeit pills laced with fentanyl. Prince had no idea he was taking a counterfeit pill that could kill him, Metz said. Metz said law enforcement was unable to determine who provided the counterfeit Vicodin laced with fentanyl that killed Prince despite intensive investigation. On Thursday, prosecutors also announced Schulenberg, the Minnesota doctor who'd prescribed an opioid painkiller for Prince a week before his death, had agreed to pay $30,000 to settle civil charges that he wrote an illegal prescription. Schulenberg, who denies any liability, violated the Controlled Substance Act when he had illegally written a prescription for Prince in someone else's name. Federal prosecutors said Thursday in an official statement with a settlement documents obtained by ABC News. The doctor also agreed to submit to monitoring by the Drug Enforcement Administration. The settlement is neither an admission of facts nor liability by Dr. Schulenberg, court records said. Prosecutors also affirmed in a separate letter to Schulenberg's attorneys that the doctor is not a target of a federal criminal investigation. So as we heard there, these counterfeit pills, that has definitely been my experience. We are seeing tons of these out there. They look like very legitimate prescription medication. I can absolutely easily see how these could get confused by especially someone that's sick or ill or addicted to something that's making their, you know, making them less than focused on what they're doing. Or someone very sick or ill. These pills look very legitimate. They seem not to be really produced that much in bulk locally. It seems like this is maybe a thing being shipped in by the cartels or something of that nature. But somewhere these pills are being mass produced and trafficked all over the country and in large quantities. You will frequently see news stories about, you know, many pounds of fentanyl being seized by law enforcement or something of that nature, and that is what's being added to these pills that, again, if you're just a layman and you're, and they're in a prescription bottle, you may be none the wiser about what's going on there. And the thing with fentanyl is, it is very lethal in very small doses. Now, there's a lot of hype and hysteria out there that, you know, you'll frequently see stories about, you know, police officers touching it and overdosing from it, or, you know, there's been this urban legend going around here recently of people don't pick up dollar bills you find laying around because they have a little bit of fentanyl on them, and you'll take it. You know, turns out those stories are largely hoaxes, and recently one made national headlines, as a matter of fact. And you go back and you actually start looking into the story, and the woman never tested for fentanyl exposure, never did. That was seemed to be something that was just, I don't know, right now it's looking like somebody just decided that, you know, the news, imagine that, seemed like they just, you know, wanted to go along and feed some hysteria out there. But it's still remarkably dangerous. Don't take that away, and you know, if in doubt, leave it alone to be sure and take all precautions. But at the same time, there's a little bit of hysteria going on about that as well. Nevertheless, in very, very small amounts, fentanyl can be lethal. And when you're getting this, you know, bootlegged into a fraudulent prescription medication, or mixed with something like heroin or cocaine or some opioid or something like that, you know, you're literally trusting person unknown in place unknown who is illicitly stamping these out of a pill press to have put a non-lethal amount of fentanyl in there. And I don't even know how one even is able to gauge that accurately. So it's a very dangerous drug. And again, it seems to be really dominant on the streets right now. So we're going to take our mid-show break, come back, and we'll talk more about the tragic death of one of the greatest musicians ever, Prince, right here on the Dragon King Dark podcast, part of the When It Was Cool podcast network.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.
Here's a soundbite from the When It Was Cool podcast from WhenItWasCool.com. Uncle Luke of Two Live Crew, and I wouldn't have thought of Two Live Crew again in my life probably had I not brought him up on this show. That I bet you didn't listen to a lot of Two Live Crew back in the day, did you?
I was aware of it.
Okay, so I wasn't going to set you up and say, let's play some Two Live Crew, Tanya.
We was listening to some of the songs. I think I got my first kick, like my first feel of it at the fair. And I'm like, wow, this is some...
Who is playing Two Live Crew at the fair? What? What kind of fair was this? What?
I mean, I remember it being, I was on like that Polar, it was a ride called the Polar, and it slung you around real fast.
Okay, tell me more.
And I can remember this song being on, and I can remember it was started going really, really fast, and I was thinking, okay, this song is really, really dirty.
Yes.
And there was little kids on there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Not on the ride, but there was little kids around, and I was thinking, this song is really bad.
You can get more from this podcast and many others by going to WhenItWasCool.com. And remember, support us on Patreon. Dragon King Dark can be heard not only on the When It Was Cool podcast network, but also at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, Dark Matter Digital Network, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, everywhere you would expect a major podcast to be, there we are. If you like to follow us on social media, I hope you will. We don't have a Dragon King Dark Twitter account or Facebook account or anything. It's all under the When It Was Cool podcast network. So do check us out. All of our social media links are on the front page of WhenItWasCool.com. And we hope you'll add us there, favorite us. Add it to your bookmarks, and we would love to have you as a Patreon supporter. You're hearing this show because other people became Patreon supporters. And if you'd like to continue this show, if you'd like for us to continue finish out this series and move on to something more different and hopefully as much or more interesting, then we need Patreon support. We put out a new show every single day, just almost every single day. And when it was cool, very seldom we miss a day of some sort of pop culture podcast. When it was cool, if you're a Patreon supporter, you get a RSS feed that you can put into iTunes, Apple Podcast, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast, and that gets you all of our shows, all of them you're signed up for, and get them delivered right to you. We have a lot of fun. Hope to see you at whenitwascool.com. This article is from NBCWashington.com. It is called Remembering Prince on the 6th Anniversary of His Death. So that come earlier this year, April 21st, 2022. It is written by Corin Cesarek. And so from earlier this year marked the 6th anniversary of the death of Prince. Wow, time surely does fly. Prince, who is widely remembered as one of the greatest musicians of all time, passed away 6 years ago. I'm so glad to see many of these articles using that as their tag, because it's true, and it's something I don't feel had been said enough. I don't feel like when you talk about, you know, the greatest of all time, I don't feel like many people put Prince in that conversation as they should put him in that conversation. Prince, who's widely remembered as one of the greatest musicians of all time, passed away 6 years ago today. With his androgynous style and vocal capabilities, Prince took the music and fashion world by storm as he quickly became a household name. Born on June 7, 1958, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Prince Rogers Nelson showed an interest for music early in life when he wrote his first song at just 7 years old. In 1977, at 18 years old, Prince signed on with Warner Brothers Records. At 19, he became the youngest producer with the label when he produced his debut album, For You. He also sang and played all 27 instruments on the album. Just wow, just amazing. Prince's record-breaking 6th studio album, Purple Rain, was released June of 1984. At the time, Prince was referring to his band as The Revolution. This album was Prince's first to reach number one on the Billboard 200, and it spent 24 weeks in that position. The songs When Doves Cry and Let's Go Crazy reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Purple Rain became one of the best-selling records of all time. In July 1984, Purple Rain, the film, was released, with Prince in the leading role in the semi-autobiographical film that showcases numerous concert scenes with Prince and the Revolution. The film won an Academy Award for Best Original Song Score. During his career, Prince went by many monikers, including one that was a symbol his fans knew as the Love Symbol. He was often referred to as the artist formerly known as Prince. In total, Prince released 42 studio albums during his career. His final album, Hit and Run Phase 2, was released in December of 2015. Three albums released after his death came in 2018, 2019, and 2021. The seven-time Grammy winner died on April 21, 2015, at the age of 57, from an accidental fentanyl overdose. At the time, President Barack Obama released a statement recognizing Prince's impact on the music world and joined fans in mourning the loss of an icon. The statement read in part, "Few artists have influenced the sound and trajectory of popular music more distinctly or touched quite so many people with their talent as one of the most gifted and prolific musicians of our time. Prince did it all. Funk, R&B, rock and roll. He was a virtuoso instrumentalist. I'll agree with that. And a brilliant band leader and an electrifying performer." After his death, Prince sold more albums in 2016 than any other artist, living or dead, with 2.23 million copies sold. Absolutely amazing. Now, he was super protective of his copyrights and stuff. I decline to put in any news interviews or news clips on this episode as I have in others, because many times they, through their music license, play in the background some Prince songs and stuff. Well, with algorithms and such, you know, running amok in today's world, we definitely get clipped by YouTube when this appears on there. Yes, you can follow our shows on YouTube as well, And I certainly don't want to get in any trouble, because he and Don Henley were very prolific about catching their music being played unlicensed. So we definitely don't want to cross any boundaries there. So I have forgotten doing that here today. His Wikipedia article covers his illness and death this way. Prince saw Michael T. Schulenburg, a Twin Cities specialist in family medicine, in Excelsior on April 7, 2016, and again on April 20th. On April 7th, he postponed two performances at the Fox Theater in Atlanta from his piano and a microphone tour. The venue released a statement saying that he had influenza. He rescheduled and performed what was to be his final show on April 14th, despite still not feeling well. While flying back to Minneapolis early the next morning, he became unresponsive, and his private jet made an emergency landing at Quad Cities International Airport in Moline, Illinois, where he was hospitalized and received naloxone, a medication used to block the effect of opioids, especially following an overdose. Once he became conscious, he left against medical advice. Representatives said he was dehydrated and had influenza for several weeks. Prince was seen bicycling the next day in his hometown. He shopped that evening at the Electric Fetus in Minneapolis, what a name for a store, for a record store day, and made a brief appearance at an impromptu dance party at his Paisley Park recording studio complex, stating he was feeling fine. On April 19th, he attended a performance by singer Liz Wright at the Dakota Jazz Club. On April 20th, 2016, Prince's representatives called Howard Cornfield, a California specialist in addiction medicine and pain management, seeking medical help for the star. Cornfield scheduled to meet with him on April 22nd, and he contacted a local physician who cleared his schedule for a physical exam on April 21st. On April 21st at 9:43 a.m., the Carver County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call requesting an ambulance be sent to Prince's home at Paisley Park. The caller initially told the dispatcher that an unidentified person at the home was unconscious, then, moments later, said he was dead, and finally identified the person as Prince. The caller was Cornfield's son, who had flown in bupropion that morning to devise a treatment plan for opioid addiction. Emergency responders found Prince unresponsive in an elevator and performed CPR, but a paramedic said he had already been dead for at least 6 hours. They were unable to revive him. They pronounced him dead at 10:07 a.m., 19 minutes after their arrival. There were no signs of suicide or foul play. A press release from Midwest Medical Examiner's Office in Anoka County on June 2nd stated that the musician had died of an accidental overdose of fentanyl at age 57. The fentanyl that led to his overdose was contained in counterfeit pills made to look like a generic version of the painkiller hydrocodone. The question of how and from what source Prince obtained the drug that led to his death has been the subject of investigations by several law enforcement agencies. A sealed search warrant was issued for his estate, and other unsealed search warrants were issued for the local Walgreens pharmacy. On April 19, 2018, the Carver County Attorney announced that the multi-agency investigation related to the circumstances of the star's death had ended with no criminal charges filed. Following an autopsy performed by Dr. A. Quinn Strobe, a protege of Janis Amatuzio, his remains were cremated. On April 26, 2016, Prince's sister and only full sibling, Tyka Nelson, filed court documents in Carver County to open a probate case, stating that no will had been found. As of his death, the twice-divorced Prince was neither married nor known to have fathered any surviving children. Under Minnesota law, in the absence of a will, this meant that, in addition to his full sister, Prince's five half-siblings also had a claim to an estate totaling millions of dollars in cash, as well as real estate, stocks, and cars. Within three weeks of his death, listen to this, 700 people claimed to be half-siblings or descendants. Bremer Trust was given temporary control of his estate, had his vault drilled open, and was authorized to obtain a blood sample for DNA profiling from the coroner who had performed the autopsy. Prince's ashes were placed in a custom 3D printed urn shaped like the Paisley Park estate. The urn was placed on display in the atrium of the Paisley Park complex in October of 2016. As of April 2019, no additional estate claimants were recognized by the courts besides Prince's full sister and five half-siblings. However, his estate remains unsettled, which that's very interesting. In fact, yeah, I guess an article that came out in 2019, so that's 3 years ago, still said Prince's estate is still unsettled. So, you know, all that music possibly there, all that money, all that, you know, everything still in limbo there. People get a will, make a will. I say that having no will myself. I guess I need to get on doing that too with my millions and millions of dollars and we could use some Patreons, folks. I'm just joking there. That's a complete joke. But what is no joke is Prince. Prince was no joke. Prince was an amazing, amazing talent, an incredible superstar, mega charismatic, mega talented, just an amazing, amazing, gosh, you can't even call him singer-songwriter. That's just two of his many labels. Love, love, love me some Prince. And if you've, I don't know how in the year 2022 you could not be familiar with the music and works of Prince, but let's just say somehow you are, somehow just you've managed never to pay much attention to Prince. I hope you will. Go check out his Super Bowl halftime performance. It's an amazing man playing in the downpour of a rainstorm, just playing his heart out. There was this great, and I forget off the top of my head what it's from, but there was a TV show where they had numerous guitarists playing George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Tom Petty, and I think George Harrison was there maybe, and some others, I forget who and all was there, and they had invited Prince to play along too, but there was some, the story goes, and I again don't know how much of this is urban legend, how much of it is true, that he was somewhat disrespected by the producers of that. They were like, oh, you know, Prince is a good guitarist, really? And so Prince comes out there and just steals, not just steals. He steals, stomps, and destroys this entire set. It's just one of the most incredible performances you'll ever see. He just eats it up. Tom Petty just sings. You can tell Tom Petty's just like, I'm going to sing this song until we all die just because I'm watching this incredible once-in-a-lifetime guitar performance by Prince. And then at the end, he just throws the guitar up off the stage into the crowd, walks off the stage as then, guess I showed you. It was something else, sight to behold, to be sure. What a character, once-in-a-lifetime performer. Well, thank you very much for joining me here at whenitwascool.com or wherever you're hearing this show for Dragon King Dark, and hope you will, again, continue to support our efforts here. Our podcasting network really needs you to come become a Patreon supporter. And again, you're going to get, we're not looking for charity. We're not looking for a handout. This isn't a, hey, we're going to throw a special once a month at you. No, we put a show out almost every single day on our podcasting network When It Was Cool. Coming up this week, as a matter of fact, we have The Plot coming up tomorrow. That's one of our special new podcast. He's going to be talking about comics over there. Mark, who puts out that show, is a veteran podcaster, so he's looking for some real interesting stuff. The first episode of his Plot podcast that's dealt with comic books, he's going to be looking at something from DC Comics Past, which we talked about recently on here. I'll have a special Monday on the free feed of my Pro Wrestling History podcast page on Mario Galinto. Now, he's an old school wrestler from back in the 50s and 60s. And one time he got mad back in, I think, the 1970s and went on the radio in Memphis, Tennessee on a sports talk show and just completely blew the cover for pro wrestling. Is it fake? You bet it is. And here's everything you want to know about it. We have that interview. We have that. Talk all about it. Tell you all the details. That's coming up Monday. So check that out. Tuesday is the latest installment in the long form history of pro wrestling, where I'll be talking about March of 1983, everything that happened in pro wrestling in March of 1983. Uphill Both Ways comes up Thursday, and we have, we'll be talking about Disneyland, Disney World, and things like that, so that should be fun. Vacation is the title of that show. Wrestling with the Dog coming up Friday, and Saturday we'll have a Fireside Chat. Not sure about Wednesday yet. The Desert Rat usually puts out Stuck in the Desert, but he's been on a hiatus for a couple of weeks, so he'll maybe be back with a show there. We also have Life and Times with KZ. We have numerous shows covering retro pop culture. We have the Thrash Metal Show. We have a number of shows here at When It Was Cool. We've got a great new show recently by Christoph about Masters of the Universe. Look, if you're a Masters of the Universe fan, I have learned so much from this show. It is absolutely great. So come join us. We're always talking music, fun, history, movies, TV, pop culture, and much, much more. Join us at whenitwascool.com, and I'll see you back here again soon with another show. Hey, everybody. Carl here from whenitwascool.com. I've talked to you a lot about our Patreon, which is the most important way you can support us. But let me remind you of what else we do. You can follow us on social media on both Facebook and Twitter. Grab the links off the front page of whenitwascool.com. Check out all of our free podcasts on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and other major podcast outlets. Check out Dragon King Dark, along with Stuck in the Desert podcast, Uphill Both Ways, Wrestling with the Dog, The Thrash Metal Show, Life and Times with KZ, our new show, The Plot, Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, Fireside Chat, and Hill Mustache Podcast, plus many specials every month. Go to whenitwascool.com for everything retro pop culture and more. Hit that Patreon link for premium podcast content. If you're looking for something fresh and fun to listen to, then bookmark whenitwascool.com.